I know that most of you believe in miracles, but do you believe God will perform miracles in your life? Do you believe that through tough times, God is still your deliverer? And we're bringing to you today the message, I believe in miracles. I know that most of you in this audience and millions of you watching need a miracle in your personal life. A physical miracle, a healing miracle, a miracle of peace that comes to your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ. You need for God to do something very special for you. Today I'm bringing you a Bible teaching on how to find and release the miracle working power of God in your life with I Believe in Miracles. Stay tuned. This may be the most important message you've ever heard. Congregation, will you welcome, please, an audience across the nation and around the world. It is impossible to please God. By faith, Noah built an ark to the salvation of his family. By faith, Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. By faith, we walk by faith and not by sight. That's a powerful verse. Faith is what you do in the spiritual. Sight is what you do in the physical. Most people say seeing is believing, but the fact is believing is seeing. And when you understand that big things happen by faith and virtually nothing happens by sight other than you finding your way, you'll recognize the essence of Paul saying the things that are not seen are far greater than the things that are seen. When you walk by faith, you can see what other people can't see. You can go where other people cannot go. You can have from God what other people never get, because everything that God offers in His Word, everything that comes out of the pantry of heaven, comes at the cost of faith. Until the person seeking healing or anything else is certain that it's God's will to help him, he's trying to have a harvest without seed. And you can't have a harvest until the seed is planted. Faith is the seed that makes everything in the Word of God work. Have faith in God. Without faith, it is impossible to have anything be accomplished in the kingdom of God. Consider the scripture, the scriptural foundation for miracles. Man has a twofold nature. He has a physical and a spiritual nature. Both natures have been equally addressed in the scripture. The God of the natural is the God of the supernatural. Say that with me. The God of the natural is the God of the supernatural. The God who enforces the law of gravity also enforces the laws of the Word of God. If I drop this Bible 100 times, it will fall. That's the law of gravity. There are spiritual laws in this Bible that are just as real as the law of gravity. And they work every time. It's not a rabbit's foot kind of something. Oh, I hope it happens. It's going to happen when you meet God's conditions for it happens. Let's talk about the laws of the physical and the spiritual. Your physical body is exposed to disease, and your soul has been corrupted by sin. The cross has made it possible for your sins to be forgiven and your body to be healed. That's why the text that I've read in Psalms 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits, who forgives all of your iniquities." How many of you know what an iniquity is? Let me see. That's very good. I am very pleased. For those of you who are watching, an iniquity is a sin where you did it knowing you were doing it. You knew it before you started. You knew it while you were doing it, but you did it anyway. That's an iniquity. And you've done it. Don't turn off. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all of your iniquities and heals all of your diseases. You see, first, there is the treating of the spiritual, forgiving of sin, and the healing of the physical body. Notice that connection, because once all sin is forgiven, all diseases are healed. That's God's promise. The first promise of healing that's found in the Bible is found in Exodus 15:26. The children of Israel have just come out of Egypt's bondage. which is a kind of deliverance. They have walked through the Red Sea, which is the type of water baptism. And God says to the children of Israel through Moses, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord God that healeth all of your diseases. Healing did not start with Jesus in the book of Matthew. Healing started with God Almighty in the book of Exodus. Just how successful was God's medical program for the children of Israel? David answers in Psalms 105:37, He brought them forth out of Egypt with silver and gold, and there was not one person sick or feeble among them for 40 years. Isaiah 53:4-5, Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and by his stripes we are healed. Listen to those two words, born and carried. The words born and carried denote more than sympathy. Jesus just didn't have an emotional empathy with our sickness and our sin. He did something about it. He carried it away. Jesus has borne our sins and carried our sicknesses away. He is our burden bearer. He is the scapegoat at the cross. When Jesus said, it is finished, what did he mean? He meant the plan of salvation is finished. He meant death died. Think about that. Death died because he that believeth in me shall never die. Ooh, get a hold of this. Sickness and disease die. You're never going to die because you have everlasting life. You have everlasting life. Now let me tell you a chilling thought. People say, oh, when we all get to heaven. Hey, you've got to die to get to heaven. And they stop singing the song. That's how it works. Matthew 8:16, he healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, he took our infirmities and bore our sickness. In ancient Israel, there are seven feasts. The feast is Yom Kippur, is the feast of repentance. Two goats were brought into the temple for the high priest. Two. The first goat was slaughtered on the spot for the sins of Israel and the sins of the priest. The blood of that goat was for the forgiveness of the sins of the priest and Israel. God demands holiness. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. There is no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sin. If you have not received Jesus, your sins have not been forgiven. You can join the church, the Rotarians Club, or any other club, but until you confess your sins and are cleansed by the blood of Jesus, you are not forgiven. The first goat was slaughtered. Then, once that goat was slaughtered, the high priest took his thumb and his forefinger and put it into a bowl of blood and put it on the head of the second goat. The second goat is called the scapegoat. The scapegoat is taken out at the edge of the city and thrown over a cliff. If that goat did not die in the fall, there were men who were assigned to throw a boulder on that goat to make sure it did die, because when that goat died, all the sins of Israel for the past year were forgiven. That's why Paul said Jesus Christ once and for all has become our sacrificial lamb. The sacrifice has been made. Christ is the portrait of both. At the cross, he was slaughtered for your sin. And in the theater of your mind, if you can see him hanging there, beaten and butchered, you can see that he was slaughtered for your sin. He is also our scapegoat. God, the high priest, put upon his brow my sin, your sin, your sin, your sin, yours, 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 and yours. And when Jesus said, it is finished, your sin was buried at the deepest sea, never to be remembered against you anymore. As far as the east from the west, your sin is gone. Death died. Sin died. Sickness died. Jesus paid it all. Give the Lord praise and glory in the house of God. Bible says, again, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. The Bible doesn't say these signs shall follow them that are religious. It doesn't say these signs shall follow them that are church members. It doesn't say these signs shall follow the scholars. These signs shall follow them that believe. Faith is contagious. Say that with me. Faith is contagious. Faith is transferable. When you lay your hands on the sick, and the healing power of God is released into their being. Some people wonder why they can't have faith for healing. They feed their physical body 3 hot meals a day, and they feed their spiritual self 1 cold snack every week. James 5:14, is there any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church and pray over them, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed any sin, they shall be forgiven. See again how that sin forgiven and then healing comes. And I know that some of us say, me, sin, moi? Yeah, you. I mean, when you see how many opportunities there are when you read this book, I know your mother told you that you were perfect, but she lied. You're not. You have faults. You're not the anointed one. You're human. Note again the relationship between sin forgiven and bodies healed. Notice also to whom the power is committed. Not to the apostles who are passing away, but to the elders of the church. They were to continue praying in every church for the miracle working power of God to be released. 3 John 2 says, Beloved, I pray and above all things that you may prosper and be in good health. See that? Even as your soul prospers. See the connection between the spiritual and the physical. Finally, a voice that has been speaking for 20 centuries. We hear in the words of Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is an echo of the voice of Jesus that said, Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Connect that logic with this. Christ never withdrew his presence from the earth. Christ never withdrew his love from the earth. Christ never withdrew his power from the earth. He never withdrew his power to deliver or his power to save from the earth. If he hasn't taken any of those things away, then he hasn't taken away his power to heal either. He did not remove his power. Why? He is the same, the same, the same, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Give him praise and glory in the house of God. The Word of God is the source of divine healings and miracles. Listen to Proverbs 3. Second verse and 8. My son, forget not my law. That would be the word of God. For length of days and long life it shall add unto you. You want to read something that will make your life long, happy, healthy, and beautiful? Read this. Shut off that ulcerated newscast you're watching every day. And read this. It will be health to your navel. Navel is the point of location in the body between the child and the mother, meaning it will be the source of life, and marrow to your bones. Marrow is the place in your body where the red blood cells are reconstituted. So Proverbs 3:2-8 are saying, this word will be the source of life, and it will be the thing that revitalizes every part of your being, heart, soul, mind, and body. There's not a health book in print that can make that claim. Proverbs 4:22, the word of God is life to those that find them and health to all of their flesh. Psalms 107:20, he sent his word and healed them. The word of God has healing power. In the ministry of Jesus Christ, Jesus was a Jewish rabbi. Jesus wore a prayer shawl from his 13th birthday, and he wore it to his grave. The tzitzit speaks of the word of God and the name of God. The blue border speaks of where God speaks. Why did God give this to the Jewish people right after they got out of Egypt and told the Jewish people to wear it for all of their generations, meaning that Jewish men who wear it now are doing what God told Moses to tell them to do? Why is this blue? Because for 400 years they had been watching the Egyptians worship statues that you could touch. And every god that the Egyptians had, you could touch. Now Moses is talking about a god you can't see. The Jewish people are saying, where is he? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our God is the unseen God. He lives in heaven. This God that we serve is a God that you can pray to, and fire will fall from heaven. Wind, as in the days of Elijah. This is a prayer closet. The Jewish people, then and now, take the prayer shawl and stretch it, and they give a greeting to the Lord. Blessed art thou, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who stretches out the heavens as a curtain. And then they fold it down, and they have a little private prayer time with God. Just the confessions they want God to hear. A secret chamber of prayer that Jesus talked about. This is the prayer closet Jesus was referring to. You have it right here. And then, you're done. You go right about doing what you were doing. Whenever Balaam looked upon the children of Israel and said, how beautiful are thy tents, O Israel, he's talking about these. The tallit represents every man had his tent ministry with him. It was on his shoulders. But in Luke, the 8th chapter, in the 43rd verse, and the woman having an issue of blood for 12 years came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately the issue of blood stopped. The word border of his garment, the word border translates kraspidon, which is the tzitzit. Kraspidon means twisted coil. In other words, the woman who had the issue of blood reached out and touched this. She got it in her hand, and as soon as she had it in her hand, she knew that she would be healed by the Word of God. If you need to be healed, you have the Word of God available to you right here. Speak it, believe it, stand on it, confess it. There's more power in one page of this book than in every hospital in Bexar County. The Word of God is the conquering source that will bring to you the healing power of Jesus Christ. Did that ever happen again? Yes, it happened again in Matthew 14, 35, 36. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, speaking of Jesus, they brought all that were diseased and besought him that they might touch the hem of his garment. Again, the hem of his garment is talking about this tzitzit, which translates kraspidon, which there is no mistake what they were reaching for. The Word of God is alive. The Word of God is more powerful than the mind of man can fathom. The Word of God brings peace in the midst of a storm. The Word of God brings joy in the midnight hour in the jail at Philippi. It gives you the ability to sing victory in Jesus when defeat seems most imminent. When you cannot see where victory is coming from, the Word of God will bring you the comfort to know the victory is yours in the name of Jesus Christ, giving praise and glory in the house of God. Miracles are the only thing that can happen when you meet God's conditions. Let's talk about physical law and spiritual law. If I take a tray of ice, I know this is old-fashioned. Some of you have never seen a tray of ice. You go to the refrigerator and it gurgles it out. You don't know how that happens. And when it stops, you have to call a repairman. But back in the dark ages, there was something called an ice tray. And it had sectional divisions in it so that there were things called cubes of ice. Thank you. When you put an ice tray in the freezer, you don't have to stand outside the refrigerator and say, oh, dear God, please let it turn to ice. I'll serve you all the days of my life if it can just turn to ice. You leave it there long enough and it's going to be ice. It can't be anything else. Nothing else can happen. That's the physical law. There's a spiritual law over here that's just as real and just as certain. when you meet God's spiritual conditions to have a miracle, you don't have to say, "Oh God, I've served you so long. I've even sung in the choir, taught the junior boys for 15 years. I've even tithed, for heaven's sake. Why can't you do it this time?" Just be patient. God will not fail you. The supernatural will happen. The miracle will occur. God will perform it. He cannot fail. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I know there are hundreds of you here and millions of you watching by television that need a miracle from God. If you're in this audience and you need a miracle from the Lord, I want you to stand. You're watching by television. Remember, early in the sermon I told you there was no distance in prayer. You're just as much a part of this service as if you were in this assembly, because there is no distance in prayer. How many of you standing know exactly what you need for the Lord to do in your life? Let me see. You know exactly what you want Him to do. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer following me. You may not understand it all, but just pray the prayer, because you're meeting spiritual conditions. And then I'm going to release you to fill in the blank, because every one of you has a unique request from God. And I assure you, it's no trouble for Him to hear all of you at the same time. You're not going to overload the circuits of heaven. He will hear and He will answer. Pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Your Son and my Savior, I ask You to forgive me of all of my sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And now I come before Your throne, covered by the blood of the Lamb. And I ask You, according to Your word, let the miracle power of God invade my life and meet this need. Now I want You to fill in the blank as to what that need may be. It may be a physical healing. It may be something in your business. It may be something in your own emotional life. It may be for God to heal your marriage. I want You to fill in that blank. Fill in that blank. Now let's continue praying. And now, in the name of Jesus, I receive the miracle. I receive the healing. I receive the answer. I receive the provision. I receive the favor of God. By Your stripes I am healed. Right now, in Jesus' name, it is mine. Amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise in the house of God. Magnify the Lord with me, and let us bless His name together. For the Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. 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 Will you raise your hands for the power of the blessing? And now may the Lord bless you. And may the Lord keep you. And may the Lord make His face to shine upon you. And may the Lord be gracious unto you and give you His peace. May you walk and live in the miracle power of the resurrected Son of God. May the petition of your prayer, given according to the Word of God and in the authority of Jesus' name, in faith believing, be made real in your life. For he that hath faith, nothing doubting, receives the petition of his soul. We receive it in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all of God's children said, Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise in the house of God. We bless the name of the Lord. Bless His name.
We pray that this message has blessed you. To own a copy of this sermon or give as a gift to a friend or family member, call 1-800-854-9899 or visit us online at jhm.org. You can also write John Hagee Ministries at P.O. Box 1400, San Antonio, Texas 78295. CDs are $7 and DVDs are $15.